This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 20th, episode 2316, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Well, we're back, and I apologize to everybody. I'm going to have to put myself on mute about 50 times today because I have a bad cold. So if I sound not as rich and lovely as usual, that's fine.
You sound great.
Yeah, good, good. So yesterday I hibernated in my office from about 7 in the morning till 9:30 last night, going through the 180 voicemails that came in for a radiothon. And I did my pre-sorting. I don't know if you saw the picture of me wearing my sorting hat from Harry Potter. But for some reason, the sorting hat didn't work. It wasn't helping.
Did you buy that at Disney World?
No, I got it for a gift, but somebody who bought it at Disney World. So, we've had the sorting hat for years. So I was sorting through, putting them in piles of songs and poems and stories. And my God, our listeners are talented, a lot more mm-hmm. than we are. They're really mm-hmm. talented. And yeah. I like a couple of them said, I think my singing is better than Jamie's.
Please. I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's a low bar. It's a low bar.
Watch it. I'm amazing.
So I have to go spend the rest of today going through all the stories. I got through the songs and poems, and now we're going to be going through all the stories of people's funniest stories and wackiest things their horses have done. And there were plenty of those. And we had a chance the other day. Let's do a little tease for our opening interview on Radiothon, which is an important thing. We got to talk to Cheryl Ladd the other day.
Yeah, Cheryl Ladd, one of the original Charlie's Angels, and they've got a new Charlie's Angels movie come out, so I figured it was important to give her a call and see what she kind of thought about it, and it turns out she's like best friends with Pat Roberts, Monty Roberts' wife, which is how I knew her, because I'd seen her at the farm, and I was like, hey, Glenn always goes, okay, who do you know that's famous? We need to get him for Radiothon. I'm like, I'm tapped out. I got nobody
else.
Yeah,
you were in radio for 10 years. You actually met famous people.
Yeah, but doesn't mean that they're going to want me to call him 20 years later. Hey, remember that time?
I was beside you at the bar.
Yeah, so it was great. So we had Cheryl on and Pat on together, and that is going to be our kickoff interview. And I thought they were just both delightful.
That's a good word. Delightful was a good word. They were both delightful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking forward to that. We have a bunch of interviews coming up that day. A couple of them already been recorded, and many of them are going to be live as well. Carson Kressley is going to be our second interview for Horses in the Morning. He's a big horse guy, getting into Friesians now. Was in Standardbred showing before, and now is into Friesians. So he should be a lot of fun to talk to. He comes from a horsey family as well.
Of course, yeah. Carson Kressley of the TV show
Queer Eye
for the straight guy.
Yep. And many other things. I mean, he's been all over the place. That's what we have brewing right now for Radiothon. That's what I'll be working on for the next 10 days. And I'm glad I got the cold today and not Radiothon day. That would be bad.
You know what I'm going to do to help you, Glenn?
Yes, what are you going to do? You're going to do the talking today and I'm going to go back to bed?
No, to help you for Radiothon for the next 10 days, I'm going to go out of town.
Yeah, I noticed that. I did notice that.
Vacation. So my flights still look good. And I want to thank everybody who sent me emails.
St. Kitts or wherever that was.
St. Kitts and Nevis.
Nevis, yeah.
I want to thank all the people that flooded my inbox with emails telling me about great things to do at St. Kitts.
Not one person wrote.
Zero. Email you people. I don't know. I'm just flying to some island. I'll ask you for a little help. Has anybody been there? Has anybody heard of it?
Rhonda from Canada has taken more cruises than anybody I know, like 30 of them. Rhonda, you had to stop at St. Kitts at some point.
Apparently not, because she didn't write me an email. Not one person. I said, anybody been there, please send me a message. Bupkis. Nothing.
I'll look on the Royal Caribbean. I belong to the Royal Caribbean Forum group, and I'll look on there and see if there's anything about St. Kitts.
I want to talk to people.
You'll talk to people when you get there.
Maybe.
All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie actually today is different. It's not happy birthdays. It goes to the FEI, because I don't think in 10 years, 2,400 episodes of this show, I've ever given the FEI a Daily Winnie.
It's about time.
Usually we're bitching about them. But today, I'm actually giving them my Daily Winnie, because they revised the rules that strip individual disciplines of their current governing power to choose their own head protection rules, which means that the individual countries could decide whether helmets were mandatory or not. And now the FEI is saying, screw all you people, we're making it mandatory on all riders to wear approved protective gear anytime they're mounted on FEI showgrounds, which includes warm-up, dressage ring. Dressage were the biggest ones complaining. And, you know, it's so funny because it's been a semi-rule, right? In a lot of the disciplines, eventing, of course, and jumping. But, you know, dressage has been a holdout, and even dressage and eventing has kind of been a holdout in some countries. But now this rule supersedes all local rules in local countries. And I love what the quote here from the chair of the FEI Dressage Committee. Tradition is important in our sport, but it's difficult not to follow the medical community's advice. There's no really strong argument against the use of protective headgear in dressage, except that is tradition. Yeah. And of course, this started the flood of people whining and complaining on Facebook about these rules being now mandatory. The only discipline FEI that is not doesn't come under this is vaulting. So the vaulters are the only ones that it doesn't apply to.
That's an easy one. I mean, you know, they don't need helmets.
No, they don't. So they don't ride huge horses and swing around and jump around. And
is barrel racing a FEI sport?
Well, not technically, I don't think.
And reining is not in the FEI anymore.
Yeah, they're the ones that they're fighting about whether they are or aren't. So, you know.
Oh my God, I would love to see some reiners and helmets come out in helmets. That would be the most fantastic. They would quit. They would just quit.
Some of the old guard dressage guys were coming out saying, well, then they better start making top hats that are helmets. I thought, how big is that sucker going to be? It's going to look like a cartoon.
That's great. Well, good for them.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that ruling, and I knew you would be too. So yeah. That starts in January of 2021, by the way. So we have another year. If you don't want to wear a helmet, you can go get your head squished.
My Daily Winnie goes out to somebody who sent me this article, and the article is, science has confirmed you will be happier if you have a basset hound next to you. That's right. It's science. And so I clicked on it. I'm like, I've got to know what scientist has studied the effects of a basset hound next to you. And the first paragraph is, because if it's on the internet, Glenn, it's true. Not only basset hounds, but also other dogs have important missions to accomplish in their life, such as detecting dangerous things for humans, bombs, drugs. In addition, they make our life. And I was like, wait, basset hounds are not drug dogs. They don't detect anything. They pretty much just sleep all the time.
Did you see the basset hound running across the battlefield?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was like, that's a weird way to start this article. But whatever, I continue to read. Scientists and experts have demonstrated that you'll wake up faster and easier in a good mood if you have a dog near your bed. And the rest of the article goes on to take the word where it would be dog and replace it with basset hound. And it's like, I'm like, this is not at all about basset hounds. It's just somebody.
The Basset Hound Association.
Yeah, well, and then I start scrolling through it, and I'm reading it. Don't you see? Owning a basset hound is one of the best things that could have happened to you. Love your pup. Remember, they'll always be there for you. And as you scroll down, you can click on other articles. Science has confirmed you will be happier if you have a border terrier next to you. Science has confirmed you'll be happier if you have an Akita next to you. Science has confirmed. And then I was like, what scientific website is this? Hearthwild.com. They didn't even spell heart right. It's just clickbait. But I clicked on it like so many times that I've shared it with
you guys. Are greyhounds on the list? I'll go read it and see if they just replaced dogs.
Science has confirmed a greyhound will make you healthier.
Mine's right here. Like, it makes me happy. Although we don't let our greyhound sleep in the bed. She'd take up three quarters of it.
Oh my God, this basset hound is it. Chad came home from a trip last night. He got home at like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was asleep and he walks into the bedroom and he goes, "So the dog sleeps in the bed now, does it?" Listen, you weren't here. She is filling the void. She is my emotional support dog.
Was she sleeping in the bed last night?
Yeah, she sleeps in the bed every night. So deal with it, Chad. You let me have this basset hound. She's going to rule the world. That's what happens with basset hounds. That's why Lucky frustrated him, because Lucky got to do whatever Lucky wanted to do. Because it makes me happy. Okay, carrying on.
It does make us feel inadequate, by the way. So we have a good show coming up, which we forgot to talk about again. It's
the hour. I have an anti-daily winner real quick. Breaking news, actually.
Yes, okay. Well, let me just mention what's coming up. Coming up on today's show, we have Ashley Pletcher, who is one of the best trick riders around, been on our show many times, and she's doing a clinic coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about trick riding, which I think should be your next thing at the makeover. And then Abby Fultz. Well, you almost did trick riding when you were doing the archery. Abby Fultz from the Chronicle of the Horse is coming on with the Chronicle in History. And we have some lottery stories for you later on, as well as some weird news. So you have an anti-daily Winnie?
Yeah, well, it's just breaking news, but it makes me very unhappy. The California Chrome Syndicate has that is the owners of California Chrome. They have reached an agreement with a company in Japan to purchase him. California Chrome is being sold to Japan. I'm so sad. I love him. I don't want him to leave our country. But the good news is we did get to go meet him, and he's still at TaylorMade right now. If you can get out there in the next day or two. Yeah, he almost bit Glenn and I both. So it's like
he was not a happy camper that day.
No, he's just a big stallion. That's what they do. As part of the agreement, the California Chrome Syndicate has first right of refusal if he is ever sold. And upon retirement from breeding, he will go back to TaylorMade and live out the remainder of his life.
Good. Good. I'm glad they made that deal. They had to make that deal.
I mean, come on, Ferdinand, let's go, you know. So yeah, he is going to be fine in the end of it and going to breed lots of Japanese beauties.
All right. We're going to get to our first guest here in a second. Plus, later on in the show, you're going to find out, you know, Jamie loves her basset hound and loves her horses, but there's an animal on her farm she doesn't really love all that much. So we're going to find out about that later in the show. Maybe at the end of the show, we'll talk about that and play a little sound for you. But right now, you know, it's coming on winter. It's very cold in some places. And Horse Lovers is having a horse clothing sale at 90% off. These are closeout models from various brands, including Amigo and Horse and Horsewear and Tough Rider and Weatherbeater. And the list just goes on and on and on and on. As a matter of fact, there are 10 pages of closeouts on blankets and clothing for horses, up to 90% off. I'm looking at Weatherbeater combo fleece coolers for $43. I'm looking at Saxon blankets for $65. We have horsewear blankets as low as $79, and all different weights and sizes. So if you go to horselovers.com today, check out the blanket lines that are on sale. There's a big banner at the top that says horse clothing 90% off. It's that time of year, so head on over if you need another one.
Amigo stable sheets, which is like if you go to a horse show and you've given your horse a bath and you need to keep them covered up and you don't want to have them, you know, get dirty or dust on them, you get a stable sheet. And they have Amigo stable sheets for $39.99. It's the 12-hour pre-holiday flash deal that they have going on. And this is, if you have a gray horse, you should have an army of these things. But yeah, Amigo sheet for $40.
All right, let's Horse Lovers with a Z. .com, and of course, they're a terrific sponsor of Radiothon again for the fifth year this year. Let's call our first guest. Her name is Ashley Pletcher. She's a friend of ours, been coming on our show for, I looked up the first time, it was in 2014. So she's been coming on for a little while. She was 18 when she first came on our show talking about.
She's
this.
Old now. Yeah. She's...
Hi, Ashley.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. You got Jamie and Glenn here, and you're live on the air. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I was excited whenever you got a hold of me.
Well, you have another clinic coming up on January the 18th here in Ocala for trick riding. Didn't you do this last year? I think some of our listeners went.
Yes. We've actually done, this will actually be our fourth clinic at this facility in Ocala. It's at Harley Farms on Northeast Jacksonville Road.
Yep.
We were just there. I want to say it was 2 weekends ago we were just there, and then we did one earlier throughout the year. And then we'll be there again on January 18th, and we have private lesson slots open, and we're also going to be doing a clinic as well.
So let's talk a little bit about trick riding. First of all, if you're a person of a certain age, what age do you not want to be a trick rider or start?
Great question. Yes,
that's a really good one. We take you at 8 years old and older. We have worked with a few that were 7 that were very coordinated and a little more mentally ahead of the game of what their age was. But there's no cap off on, like, you can never be too old. I work with a woman in Pennsylvania who is 76 years old.
What?
And she comes, yes, and she's not running around there and hanging upside down by one foot, but she does it for flexibility and balance and to get out of the house, and she has a blast with it.
I'm not too old, Jamie. I could still do it.
You're going to the clinic, Glenn. Sign him up.
We'll sign you up.
Yeah, I'm so flexible. You have a better shot with the 6-year-old, Ashley.
speaking of that, what are some of the things that you think would, say, there was somebody who was 40 that was interested in learning how to trick ride. What do you think some of the kind of helpful things going into it would be? Flexibility, strength, like what are some of the things that I need, a person of that age would need to have?
Trick riding is an all-around strength of cardio and just being strong, and flexibility does play a factor, but I do have a lot of people who are not flexible that do very well in trick riding as well.
Do you have to really know how to ride in the first place, or should you be a really good rider?
No, you do not.
Oh.
No. I don't care if you know how to ride. As long as you're not scared of a horse, as long as you've at least sat on the horse and have like walked it around and you're at least comfortable around the horse, we can teach you to trick ride. It's my trick riding horses that I perform on that we use for the clinic and all my equipment. You don't need to own a horse. We provide everything. You just have to bring yourself. We have a cap off of 200 pounds and under due to the size of the horses we have, because the horses are my partners and I have to protect them too, so they still enjoy their job. But we've worked with a wide variety. You can be male, female, 8 years old, 70 years old. It's a really broad spectrum of what we will work with, and everybody leaves the clinic or a lesson learning a lot. They definitely leave feeling sore and like they definitely got a workout.
So Glenn, here's what you have to be able to do is you don't have to have ridden before, but if you can stand up on the edge of the boat in the ocean and not fall down, or if you can get in one of those trains, like the little transit systems in the airport, and not hold on to the railing when it stops, then you're good.
Yeah. Is that the criteria?
That's the criteria.
Yes, that's going to be our new criteria.
Ashley, what do you teach first? What's the first thing they learn at a clinic?
So there are 5 fundamental maneuvers that are like step 1 to every trick in the book for trick riding. The first, they're called the horn spin, saddle spin, layout, step over, and scissors. So they get you familiar with the saddle and moving around all funky on the horse. They teach you how to sit on the horse's neck in front of the saddle, how to spin around the saddle. A lot of riding instructors teach what's called around the world. And the saddle spinning around the world is the same thing, except we have handles on the back of the trick riding saddle. So it's like the professional way. And it gets you familiar as to where are those handles for you to be able to do other tricks. Teaching you to step on and off of the horse and just body control. They're not hard. They are very feasible for people to get. Everybody gets them in an hour lesson. Everybody gets them down. A lot of people do them at the walk pretty quick. And then once you're comfortable with them, they open you up to other tricks in the book. You already have 50% of the trick down. It's just adding 1 or 2 more steps to it. So it's a building process.
Makes it sound so easy, doesn't Ashley? Make it? Oh, you just get on, you flip around, and in no time, you're going to be riding at a dead gallop hanging off the horse. No,
exactly.
Yeah. On purpose or not, that's a different story. But, yes. You know, I think everybody has done trick riding at a time or two in their lives. So they just don't remember it because it wasn't planned.
Right.
Right.
I hear so many stories. I can't tell you how many times I perform, and as soon as I come out of the ring from performing, somebody will be there going, hey, I trick rode once, but I didn't mean to.
Yeah, I bet
you hear those. To go with it.
What's the most difficult trick you do?
I go under the belly. I start on one side of the horse, and I go head first underneath.
And up the other side?
Underneath the... Yes.
Why?
We get that a lot. So I perform in both the rodeo and circus. And under the belly is a very traditional circus trick. And I thought it was cool. And so I did it.
I think it's every girl's.
And now I do it all the time.
I think that's silly and crazy, but I know you, Ashley, and we know you're silly and crazy, so that's a given.
Yes.
Roman riding is something that I think every teenage horse girl in the world wants to do at one point or another.
Yes, Roman riding is extremely popular.
Is that hard to learn?
It's different. The best thing to compare Roman riding to is it's like being on an elliptical machine. But the elliptical machine, the pedals, how they go up and down, and as your arms go too, but you have to think that they can go in and out too, because the horses are not tied together. They can come apart a little bit. It's kind of like a wave to it in a sense.
Well, Glenn gets bucked off an elliptical, so you're in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's a different sense. A lot of people, the number one question I get is when you stand up on the trick riding saddle, it's called the hippodrome is the name of that trick. A lot of people ask me if standing on the trick saddle and Roman riding is the same, and they are not. They are very, very different. Roman riding, you have more like a squat position and you're very loose and move with the horses. In the hippodrome, standing on the trick saddle, there's a strap we add on the saddle. And when you stand up, you make your body tight, almost like a board. You straight legs, you know, keep yourself forward, and you move with the horse in a more stiff manner.
Ashley, Jamie just got done with the thoroughbred makeover in Kentucky, and she didn't tell any of us that with her thoroughbred, she was going to learn how to do archery. She'd never done archery before. Learn how to do archery and do archery off the horse during her freestyle, and she hit all 10 targets.
I think
trick riding and Roman riding on two off the track thoroughbreds would break the internet for freestyle at the makeover. What do you think, Jamie? Two thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
Man, I totally think that Ashley should do that. That'd be awesome.
I think that I'll help you do it for the competition next year.
We'll talk, especially
narrow thoroughbreds, right?
And I'll return your call.
Yes, yeah.
We'll see. We'll start with that. Oh my gosh, you would totally win the makeover if you got an off the track thoroughbred to do trick riding on, dude. That'd be awesome.
That'd be very cool. $10,000 next year,
sure.
Ashley. Next year. Now,
oh, really?
It is narrow, right? I mean, you use wide quarter horses, and what are you using for horses?
We have several horses. The horses I use in the rodeo, I have two brown and white paint horses. Their names are Magua and Dakota. They're pretty wide. They're both about 15'2", 15'3", hands, and they're pretty stocky horses. And then in the circus, the horse I go under the belly on, he's actually a thoroughbred standardbred cross, and he's quite narrow, but he's about 16'2", hands tall. And then we have another horse that's about 14'2". He's an Arabian Appaloosa cross, and he's pretty stocky too. Not quite as stocky as the paint horses, but he's kind of the in-between horse.
How tall are you?
A wide variety of horses.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
Yeah. I thought that you weren't 6 foot. I didn't remember you being 6 foot tall.
I'm not breaking anything off the height charts there.
Well, Jamie's 5'2". So is it easier when you're shorter? Or doesn't it matter?
It doesn't really matter. Okay. You get a size-appropriate horse for your height.
Okay. So it doesn't matter, longer legs, shorter legs, doesn't matter.
Well, I'll tell you, I would totally do it. Ashley, this looks amazing, and your pictures are fantastic, and I think you I think you do an awesome job. I'm totally going to groom for you at the makeover this year. So let's pick out your horse. We can get a stocky, shorter yeah. one. And yeah. and by the way, it's 10,000 if you win your division, but it's 10,000 more. So potentially you could get $20,000.
Oh, really?
So
I didn't
you should consider
that.
It. Yeah,
I didn't know that. I knew about the initial 10,000 for the division, but I didn't know about the 20,000.
Now you got
yeah,
her interested.
Yeah, if you win the whole thing. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
There's only like 560 other competitors. Your odds are
oh,
really
that's
good.
It. You know, we have super
good. Well, Ashley,
girl, if
we're...
I can do archery and come in 11th, you can do this and come in first. You've got this.
Ashley, where I'll can people find out about the clinic and where can they book?
Well, I have a website and we're also on Facebook. If they look up Keystone Equine Training or just type my name in, Ashley Pletcher, everything will come up, from our Facebook pages to websites. We're very easy to find. If they just send us a message, we are more than happy to book them for what fits best for them. My cell phone is on everything, so people call and text me for that.
Okay.
I'll call you later.
yeah, there you go. Make sure you have my number.
Thanks, Ashley. Ashley. Take care. Happy
yeah,
holidays.
Thank you guys so much. You guys too.
So we're going to next do our continuing series on CBD oil 101, and then we're coming back with Abby, who's going to give us a little chronicle in history. And now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Greenflower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
In our continuing series on CBD oil, we're going to find out why Greenflower Botanicals is different than other companies.
Well, thanks for asking that question, Wendy. We think that we're able to really provide a superior product for several different reasons. One of those is it begins with we source right here in the USA, and we purchase and have partnerships with farms in both Colorado, Kentucky, and Oregon, as opposed to a lot of companies are bringing in importing CBD from China. Along with that, our extracts are whole plant extracts instead of isolates. So what that just means is we keep all the fatty acids and trace cannabinoids in there that as they're naturally found and bonded in the plant itself. So it's just a really, really wonderful cannabinoid-rich oil. And then, of course, is just the safety and quality issues. Every one of our products is tested at a third-party laboratory for metals, heavy metals, for pesticides, fungus, molds, and, of course, for cannabinoid content itself. So you can always be sure that not only are you getting quality product, but also you're getting safe product.
Well, that's super, Roger. And how can people find Greenflower Botanicals?
Go to greenflowerbotanicals.com on the internet, and you'll see all of our products there, as well as the testing we talked about. Every product has a test online. And most importantly, for our HRN listeners, you can use coupon code HRN and save 20% off on your first order with Greenflower Botanicals.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil. All right, we are ready to go to our weekly chronicle in history.
Yes, we've got Abby on the line. Hello, Abby.
Hello there. How are you guys?
We are fantastic. Tell everybody where in the world you are right now.
I am in Middleburg, Virginia, and I should not complain because it's not that cold today, but it's too cold for my taste, so bundled up in my office.
Pretty sure anything after September 15th is going to be too cold up there.
Yep, I agree.
They need a satellite office in Florida. Ocala.
Yeah, working on it. Maybe we should just all write in and tell them that that's what we're going to do next.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. So what is happening in the world of the Chronicle right now? I mean, obviously, there's some big news that was just dropped, and the Chronicle forums are all in a tizzy about it, but we don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about
it. Happy things only.
Yeah, we only do happy here. Well, I mean, whether or not it's happy, some people have different opinions on whether that's happy true. News or not. But again, don't want to talk about it. So what are we going to talk about today?
Today we're going to talk about the 1940s, which is still really old, Jamie.
You're making me feel young. Okay, so what Abby does is she goes into the, there's a room. Is it really a room?
I think it's a vault. It's a vault.
A vault.
It's a room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it have a big bank door on it with a lock?
I wish. That would be really exciting.
Like fireproof, you know, all that. Yeah, right.
So, like eye scanner, fingerprint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're totally James Bond, Abby. It's awesome.
I am. Thank you.
So yeah, there's a room in the office of the Chronicle where they have like one art, one magazine from every single published Chronicle ever, right? So, and you just go in there and you just pluck a year off the wall and we're going to talk about it.
Dig around. Yeah. So I picked 1942 this week.
And I wasn't born yet before Jamie makes that comment. I just
yeah, look at that. He just shut you down before we could even go there. That's ridiculous.
I'll let him have it.
a lot of articles about cavalry
this time. That was during the war. 1942 was during World War II. So,
yep. So we're going to learn a little bit about that. But first off, my favorite, well, not my favorite. We'll see what's my favorite. We can vote at the end. The first one I found was a horse called Prince Tex. He apparently jumped 5'7" to win they called it the open jump, but essentially like the puissance. That's like a little bit bigger than what meter 60 classes are at now.
Wow.
So that was
huge.
Their high jump. Yeah. I did look up the record for the current indoor high jump record. It's now 7'10".
Good God.
5'7" back in the day, not
7'10". That's almost 8 feet tall. That's crazy.
Is it just making the horses bigger and stronger over like the last 60, 70 years? Jeez Louise.
It must be. I don't know. But this horse was pretty cool. He also went on to win in the same day the ladies, I guess, had ladies jumper classes, and he won that class as well. So jumping some big jumps and then I guess some smaller jumps in a course. But 5'7", and now we're at 7'10". So.
All right, as you are doing this 1942, I'm going to pepper you with facts from 1942.
Okay.
Our first fact from 1942 is, can you guess, Glenn, what the minimum wage was?
Oh, it had to be a dollar.
Oh, no, 30 cents. The minimum wage per hour was 30 cents. Okay, carry on.
Wow.
I think it was a dollar when I started working, actually. It was about $1.20.
So the next one is about cavalry, which I think we do. Do we still have a cavalry?
Horses at the one base, I think, in Kansas. But technically, the cavalry is now all tanks, you know.
Yeah. So this one is talking about, I guess they interviewed a couple of different military commanders and were talking about what makes a good cavalry in the modern cavalry divisions. And the one that I thought was interesting is that they still say you should avoid vehicles if possible. I guess they doubled their anti-aircraft and artillery equipment, but they also increased their number of anti-tank weapons. And the cavalry, because everyone was kind of going towards that side, the cavalry kind of went back and was hitting harder than people that were using too many vehicles. Because I guess, I don't know, unexpected or more nimble. We can all just go watch War Horse
and learn about it. They used a lot of horses in World War II because they could get places where the armored cavalry could not.
Yep.
Fun fact about 1942, two very important inventions as horse people. I think this is pretty groundbreaking. 1942 was the year that super glue was invented and also the year that duct tape was invented.
Oh.
Boom!
So important.
And if you're into World War II history, go see Midway at the theaters right now. It's really good. Just saying.
Okay. Yeah. Next story, Abby.
This headline says, it's under horse mastership. Falling is an art that can be developed to a remarkable degree. And there's a whole article about how you should try not to fall under your horse. And you should try to roll into a ball. It's a little bit reminding me of like land safe clinics, but
I was just
thinking
that.
Yeah. But they're talking about how sometimes it's better to bail, which I think was maybe not at all the school of thought.
I will never bail.
Ironic, seeing we just had Ashley on talking about trick riding and going under a horse. I mean, so.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, don't bail then.
Just oh to, so you know, there were some very important people born in 1942. And the list of people that were born in 1942 includes people like Stephen Hawking, Muhammad Ali, Harrison Ford, Paul McCartney, and Jimi Hendrix.
Harrison Ford was born in 42?
That's a wow. Bet. It's a good year wow. for, you know, awesome people born. Go ahead, Abby, your turn.
Okay. Another horse mastership lesson that we should all take very seriously is that cuts and bruises occurring to the rider may be far more serious than they appear. So not wow. only is that funny on its own, but the third paragraph goes into tetanus. And tetanus is a thing, and you should be worried about it. And now we have tetanus
shots.
I wonder
when tetanus shots started. Jamie, when tetanus shots start? Yeah, because 1942 might have been the beginning of tetanus shots.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I'm just guessing. Now, I'll get to that. When did tetanus vaccine it was invented, but I will tell you first, in 1942, the price of gasoline had gone up considerably from 1940, because in 1940 it was 18 cents a gallon, and just 2 years later it had jumped all the way up to 20 cents a gallon.
Do you guys wow. remember what it was when you were kids?
No.
I mean, there was times it fluctuated, but it was under a dollar.
Yeah, mine
when
was
I first started
50
driving.
To 75 cents. Yep, that's what it was. I remember that.
I don't...
By the way, tetanus shots were developed in 1924.
Oh. Yeah, it does say later on that, where is it? Take no chances with rusty nails. Good. Get an anti-tetanus injection.
I try and
injection.
Jump on them and walk on them anytime I can.
Yeah.
I
just... So it does mention that you should get an anti-tetanus injection, but I guess things to consider when you fall off.
There you go.
Fantastic. Man, 1942 was an informative year. You can
it was very informative.
They told you to chronicle to avoid rusty nails and don't fall off your horse.
Did they yep. could you tell in the magazine whether they were still doing horse shows? I guess they were.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Because I know a lot of things, a lot of sporting events stopped during World War II. A lot of things stopped, you know, so I didn't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we did. Lots of results still. I got there's some pictures here of some very questionable fences cross country. And then here there's a picture of someone jumping over a 7-foot jump. So I guess that was, you know, shortly after Prince.
That was outdoors.
Up the stakes. Yes. Outdoors, of course. Yeah. And then this last one, Jamie, I thought you would love this under
I can't
the horse
wait.
Mastership. Okay. So it's two articles literally right next to each other. The first one is: forceful hand and leg when schooling works wonders in developing confidence. Okay, pause. I know you'll have something to say about that. The one immediately next to it is: sensitivity is rider's gift, which leads to equine mastery.
Oh my God. Who is writing these articles? What is going on? They're
Did the editor think they were supporting both sides by putting them side by side? They were like, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what gives confidence? Abuse. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I mean, exactly. It works for kids, so why not? So I Googled major events that happened in 1942, and I cannot describe those because there's like zero major events that happened in 1942. But Glenn, you will be very excited to know that a very important invention also came up in 1942, and that is Nutella.
That's really? Right. Nutella, you know, I tried invented. Nutella on this show for the first time years ago. I'd never heard of it. And then was it one of our Australian fans or something said, and we tried it and it was really good. I really like Nutella.
Turns out chocolate is delicious.
Strange.
The horse that won the Kentucky Derby in 1942 was named Shutout. There you go. Time okay. Magazine's Man of the Year, Joseph Stalin. Oh, my God. So all not all magazines got it right in 1942. You guys were the only ones. All right. Abby, as always, it's
wait a
awesome
minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah. Abby's cringing right now because, you know, I can't have Abby on. She's been how long have you been listening to our show? Long time.
I don't know. Years.
Years and years. And that now she's really worried. And, you know, I spent all day yesterday going through 180 voicemails, and we have not teased Radiothon with any of the current voicemails that I got.
Oh, God.
Jamie.
Oh, Is this happening right now?
Yes, it is. Abby can sing.
What?
Yes. She was holding out on us, and I think she's better than you. I really do. So I would like to play for you. This is just a teaser for Radiothon to see what kind of quality entertainment we are going to get for 12 hours on December 2nd. Here is Abby and her entry.
Hello, happy Radiothon. This is Abby Foltz coming to you from freezing cold Virginia. It is that time of year. The holidays are upon us, and I am ready to get out of here. In that spirit, I wrote this little song, and I'm hoping that some of you, or many of you, can commiserate with me. It's beginning to look a lot like screw this. Everywhere I go, the ground's frozen all the time. The sun'll be set by 5, and I don't like when I can't feel my toes. It's beginning to look a lot like screw this. I'm headed where it's warm. 14 hours on the road. Oh, I hope my horse still loads to Ocala once more. Happy holidays. I am so out of here.
Yeah!
Yay! You're a good singer.
Oh, boy.
That was fantastic. Good job. It's beginning to look a lot like screw this. I'm going back to Phoenix.
Yeah. Well written, too.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, Jacqueline Burke, another one of our longtime listeners and an auditor. Boy, when she sang, she floored me because I wasn't expecting it.
Yep.
Sang at her wedding? I don't have that one to play, but she sang at her wedding, too? Yeah.
Well, she recorded and surprised her now husband. She went and recorded their first dance song and played it for the first time he heard it. It was at their wedding reception. It was beautiful.
Oh, I'm going to cry. That's so sweet.
I know.
Abby, you have a good voice. I'm impressed. Did you do singing in school?
Thank you.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was the choir nerd and the voice lessons and all that. Yeah,
she's like, I went to Juilliard. I won the voice last year.
And now I work at the Chronicle.
So close. Yep, yep.
Yeah, talking to you guys.
I'm Hannah Montana.
Well, Abby, thanks so much for joining us again. And happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Why does anybody come on our show? We, you know. Kind of do
you
that,
try but... your darndest to make him not come back. Well,
she
that was
a good
interesting
voice,
learning
though,
about
she. She has a good voice.
Yeah, that was great and very clever too. So it is time for I've got some breaking news.
No, Glenn. We have to talk about WinTech first.
Oh, fine. You know what? Not having a producer on is making you. It's changing you.
Okay? I know. I have to make sure I get it done, or I get yelled at.
The WinTech Saddles model clearance sale is on now with new models coming soon. Don't miss out on unbelievable deals across the WinTech range. Check your local WinTech dealer for prices and availability. The model clearance includes favorites such as the popular WinTech 500 All-Purpose, WinTech Pro Jump, WinTech Isabel, and WinTech Pro Endurance, plus many, many more. Enjoy up to a huge 25% off of the MSRP of selected current models. WinTech offers you unbeatable value for the money and perfect opportunity to purchase a lightweight, comfortable, weatherproof saddle from America's favorite synthetic saddle brand. These easy care weatherproof saddles are perfect for riding during the winter as they can withstand mud, rain, and snow. So prepare for winter riding now and save. This exciting offer is only valid while stocks last. I've seen too many Christmas commercials.
You have. You just sound like you're doing a Christmas commercial.
Exciting offer is only valid while stocks last, so gallop into your nearest WinTech saddle retailer today. Conditions apply. Visit wintech-saddles.com to find your nearest retailer.
And now it's time for some weird news, and I also have some lottery news. We're going to mix it up for you today.
Well, I have breaking news. If you're in Mississippi, please, Mississippi people, watch out. You need to be careful when you're driving around. Let's go with Guntown, Saltillo, or even Baldwin or Tupelo, because that's right. There is a kangaroo on the loose.
In Mississippi?
The owner of a traveling petting zoo said a kangaroo was on the loose after escaping her enclosure. Apparently, it jumped out.
I'd be really concerned in Mississippi if I was a kangaroo on the loose, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. The owner said the kangaroo is not currently a part of his attraction because, quote,
it's missing.
She's not real friendly. And it's missing, I guess, too. He said he's been attempting to search for the kangaroo with a drone, but rough winds have been causing his battery to drain quickly. This is actual on the internet news. So thank you very much. Carry on.
Kenny was on a date with an old friend having drinks at Crown Casino in Australia, watching the Melbourne Cup. They went to lunch. Over lunch, his date said she wasn't feeling it. You know, this isn't just going to work. I want to get out of here on the 5 o'clock train. And she said, I'm going to leave. Kenny thanked her for her honesty and went on to check his bet on.
Sure, he was. He thanked her for her honesty.
Yeah,
give
I'm
me
sure.
a freaking
he was
break.
Pissed. He went on to check his bet on the Melbourne Cup. Well, apparently there was a change because of a protest. Kenny ended up correctly predicting the top four horses in Australia's biggest race, and it turns out the finish places were reordered, and for his $10 bet, he ended up winning $545,000.
Those are American dollars, almost 800 Australian.
Yes.
That is ridiculous.
The odds
what
were
happened
79,000 to 1.
Oh, my God.
Everybody at the restaurant was staring at him because apparently he went berserk and started screaming and yelling. And he went back to the table as she was preparing to leave and showed her the ticket and said, "Did you make sure this is right?" And then she started screaming and yelling. Well, she ended up hanging around for drinks. Big surprise for the next
that
couple of
dude
hours.
That is getting late tonight.
But she did end up leaving, apparently, after a few drinks, and she caught the 7 o'clock train home. And Kenny is planning on keeping his job, but he said he's going to buy a house on the Gold Coast. And I don't think she's going to be invited, to be honest.
Be very, very aware if you are, and no, you don't have to be aware because they've actually captured it. Animal rescuers in Germany. This are all my stories
got
are animal
stories
related.
Today.
Yeah, they're all animal because like this is kind of what y'all like. We actually had a listener who wrote a lovely letter saying that we are where she gets her news. And so I'm really
yeah,
sad about
I
that.
I feel really bad about that too.
But I thought I'd bring some good ones. And this is a story, animal rescuers in Germany. Said there was a Chinese crab found wandering on a city street that probably escaped from a restaurant kitchen. Apparently,
this
the
made the news.
It got out. Run. I always see cows in the way. I'm like, get out of there. Get out of that trailer. The Animal Rescue Service in Dusseldorf said that the mitten crab, a Chinese delicacy, was captured after being spotted wandering loose on a street. And
can you picture that going in between traffic and tires? And
it gets weirder because they said it's possible it escaped from a cooking pot.
Is it half
cooked? This is the... Carson Schultz was the one who found it, and he said, this is his quote, "The crab appears to be unusually friendly, indicating it may have been someone's pet."
Before what? They decided to eat it.
The Animal Rescue Service said his Krusty, they named the crab Krusty, Krusty's eventual fate has not been decided, but the species is considered invasive in Germany. Oh my God, you can't eat Krusty? He worked so hard to get away. If they said his eventual fate has not been decided, they already cooked him.
Yeah,
bless
exactly.
Heart.
They had him at the police station.
Free crab. Oh,
hey,
I got
a happy story and a story that will make you keep wanting to waste your money on the lottery because eventually you could win. This is also in Australia. A grandmother who has been playing the lotto for 40 years became a multimillionaire after winning $6.87 million in the Super Jackpot on Tuesday. The winning ticket was purchased at the grocery store. "Oh my God," she said, "should I sing or shout? What should I do? I've never won anything before in my life. I can't believe it." She said the life-changing amount will allow her husband to finally retire. Apparently, he was working well into retirement because they couldn't afford it. So it's a happy story. So keep playing. If you haven't been playing for 40 years, there's still a shot.
Man, that's fantastic. Well, here you're just encouraging people to throw away their money.
I am, yeah, because I play the lottery. I want to feel better about myself.
Okay, we're going back to the U.S. We're going to Kansas. That's right. Residents of a Kansas neighborhood were left perplexed when an unusual trio of animals, a cow, a camel, and a donkey, were in the trailer park.
Sounds like a joke. A cow, camel, and donkey walked into a bar.
Exactly. So the woman quoted, her name is Trudy Wilcox. She was driving into her trailer park last week, and she said, this is her quote, "We are just coming back from picking up a friend and came into the trailer park, and the first thing we see is, hey, there's a cow. Wait a minute. There's a donkey. Hold on. That's a camel." Neighbors called authorities. The Goddard Police Department put a photo of the animals on Facebook and said, this is their quote, "Does anyone know these owners of these three friends traveling together just east of Goddard? If not, if we cannot locate the owner, we may be halfway towards a live nativity this Christmas season."
That's pretty good. That's a police department with a sense of humor.
I love it.
What state was that in?
I just closed it out. I have to close them. Otherwise,
I was
going to
say, probably not a place where you see camels too often. There can't be too many camel owners in that state.
I think it's in Kansas.
Yeah, there can't be too many. I guess, you know, would winning a $1 million lottery change your life?
Yeah. I mean, $1 million, sure.
Not Robert Stewart from Maine. He's a good old boy from Maine, and he is now won. Well, get this. He's a tractor driver, and he won a $100,000 prize from a scratch-off he bought in early September. But you know what? That was chump change, because he had already won a $1 million jackpot and another scratch-off ticket in May. Two winners in a year. So you think that winning $1.1 million would change him? Nope. He still lives in the old mobile home he's always lived in. Apparently he had the windows changed. He put new windows in it.
Got me some weatherproof windows.
It's really old. He said he got a deal, though. He actually worked a deal with his friend's brother or something. And he continues to work his 11-hour shift at the local concrete place, driving his front-end tractor. He declined to hire lawyers and accountants to help him because he's a good old boy from Maine. You can just picture this guy. And he said, why should I pay those guys? I don't spend money. So his primary splurge, other than the windows, is he orders a lobster roll instead of a hot dog or burger in the evening when he's heading home from work at the Anne Arundel Market. He stops there every day. Said it's only $10.99 with fries. It's a pretty big one, too.
You can he's in Maine. My God.
You can just picture this guy. He's a classic. Geez. Do you have another?
I have one or two more. Which one? One or two?
One.
Okay. I'm going to wait for the music. Do you have like any like really soft spa type music? Imagine you're in the spa there, and we're going to go to Fushan, China.
Fushan? I wish and I had Chinese, that gong music. I wish I had
in
that.
In the Guangdong province. And you're laying in a spa, you're getting a massage, or you're getting a facial, and everything is so soft and delightful. And then you hear a crash. Crash through the ceiling. Something has fallen out of the ceiling. An employee at a spa in Fushan, Guangdong province, reported hearing a loud noise and then went to investigate and discovered that a large python had crashed into the business through the ceiling.
I'm out.
Apparently,
I quit. That's on the spot. I'm out.
A snake handler had gone to handle this situation and said that it appeared the python had been living in the ceiling for up to 10 years.
Oh, my God. Would you ever go back to work again, ever?
The expert said there's many restaurants in the area which attracts rats for the python to eat. So he's just up there cleaning out the rats.
Did he say whether it's a boy? Are there boy-girl pythons? You know, did he have baby pythons up there? Is there a whole nest?
Oh, my God. There could be a couple in a family. I don't
That's
know.
That's what I was thinking. 1,000 children all crawling around your restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Would you ever go back there again, period?
I'd quit my job.
I would, too. There's no way.
And I'm out. This has been fun.
We have a lot of listeners that are snake lovers. You guys, we'll let you go work there. You can do that.
We do. We have a lot of listeners that like snakes, and I don't mind snakes, but not when I'm getting a massage and it crashes through the ceiling on my back. God. You're welcome for your news. That's what we do here. We keep you up to date.
We are going to be back tomorrow with the fox hunting episode. And then we have a best of for you on Friday and Monday. And then we're back live again next Wednesday because Jamie decided to go to some island somewhere.
They're coming in. Look at all these emails about St. Kitts and Nevis. Wait. No, there's none.
Rhonda. Rhonda, please talk to her. I think you've been there. You had to have been on all your trips.
Chad's like, what are we going to do there? And I'm like, nothing.
Well, you know, that is fun, too.
We're going to do nothing.
Did you look at the cuisine? Is there anything but fish there?
Yeah, they have fish and goat. Yeah, so
I was going to say, it's very expensive in the islands to get vegetables. So,
but I did Google it, and there's like two or three vegetarian restaurants. And
really?
It's a very tiny island, so we're going to rent a car, and we're going vegetarian shopping. Apparently, it's just a thing now. Most countries just are actually better than us about providing vegetarian food.
You know, I was really impressed when we went to Europe, especially Scotland. They would ask everywhere, do you have any special needs? They would ask every time. I don't know if it's a law or not, but they would ask every time. I don't know.
And here we're suing Burger King because they cooked the burger with the meat.
They in fact, we talked about that the other day. Is that the truth?
Oh, no, there's a vegan organ group that is now suing Burger King because they bought burgers that were cooked in the same thing as the same grill as the meat. And those Impossible Burgers, which if you know anything about, I don't know, buying food at a place called Burger King, you're going to probably not get anything
you're
vegan.
You're going to see those yanked off the menu real quick.
I know, and that's ruining it for everybody. There was so much opportunity for...
So they would have had to buy a separate grill to even cook them.
Yeah. That or you have to like leave a side of the grill completely scraped and clean.
Yeah,
and
that's kind of hard because those grills are big and things run. Yeah.
Somebody who's working that grill is 16 years old and does not care about your vegan diet.
They don't care. They don't care about your meat-loving diet either. They don't care.
The veggie burger, exactly. They don't care about your diet. You know what? The veggie burgers that they cook, they microwave. So as long as you just eat them really quick, then you're fine. Those are not
touching. They don't cook. They don't cook them on the grill?
The veggie burgers, no. They just microwave them. And they're delicious for the first minute and a half.
But they get
and
cold.
Then they turn into a hoggy butt because of the microphone. So eat them quick.
All right, everybody. That's it. Join us tomorrow for the fox hunting episode. And keep in mind, we're less than 2 weeks away from Radiothon. I did want to mention that you can still qualify to win prizes by calling us that day. And the prizes now, I got $600 more in prizes than yesterday. So we're at almost $9,000 in prizes now. I have to start turning people away. It's just way too many prizes to give out. So...
I love it. I think it's great. Did you talk to Easy Signs Online? I really want them to be involved.
I sent him an email. I haven't heard back yet.
It's your brother. Freaking call him, Glenn. Jesus.
I know. We don't talk.
I'm going to call him.
All right,
answer Glenn's emails. Bye, Neuter Gal. Have a good one. What did you learn today, Glenn?
I learned that I'll never, ever go to a Chinese business of any sort.
I learned about 1942.
And I learned I'm going to keep playing the lottery. And if you're going out on a date with an old friend, maybe last to the end of the date to see if he actually won $500,000.
I don't agree. Get out of there.
Leave.
Get out of there.
Run.